The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. Oh, baby, let's pick a fight with Sean's favorite player. Sean, here's the thing. And we've mentioned him a couple times this morning. Jake Ferguson. We all love him.
Bigger news than that coming into the 105 Through the Fan studios. Here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby back from California.
Very bad place.
We have breaking news, and he can now bet at BetQL if he wants, although he can't. He works for the NFL Network.
Yep.
Bobby's wallet has been found.
It was found.
Where was it?
It was on the plane. So I
they went back on the plane? You can't go back on the plane.
No, they
Everybody
didn't.
Knows you can't go back on the plane.
They didn't go back on the plane. Whoever, they had to communicate to, hey, there's apparently something in this seat, potentially, can you go look? And they went and looked, and it was, I guess, in the pocket or something. Or they may not have even got off, because I know they texted. They were still cleaning off the plane when I had texted and said, I have already left. I know it's not there.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Good.
So they found it. I got to just figure out a time to go meet and pick it up at the charter site. So
I don't understand this. How? Why was your wallet not on, in your pocket?
So
you?
I was wearing
He's
this.
He's got a Costanza, no, a lean.
I was wearing this, and there's... We got tight space. I got jeans on. I don't have like my wallet in my jean pocket. I think it may have been in this pocket in the hoodie, and it's possible it just slipped out. Then is what happened. And so,
why are you wearing jeans today?
I like have not slept. Oh. I got off the plane and I'm still here. So, this is what I wore to the game last night. So, we're running on. We're not 24 hours without sleep yet though. So we're good. I staggered it. I made sure not to wake up till noon. When you got my phone call with a raspy voice sounding like Kathleen Turner. Yeah. So that's what it was.
Good but reference.
We got to talk about Jake Ferguson. I love Jake Ferguson.
Don't say nothing dumb.
I'm not going to say anything dumb.
Don't say nothing offensive.
I'm not going to say anything offensive. I love Jake Ferguson. He's a great interview. He's a good player. He's not making enough of a difference in the passing game this year. With everything that's being taken away from CeeDee Lamb, there's got to be more separation from Jake Ferguson. He's got to get open more consistently. They tried a lot yesterday to throw him the ball in the flat. What did we see the first 2 years he was here? We were all kind of surprised by this athleticism that he had, where he would break tackles or hurdle guys, or he had some moves in space when pick things up. He's kind of catching the ball and getting wrapped up right now. And you remember he had the, what was it? Was it the knee injury?
So your problem is not is breaking tackles or not getting open enough?
Or my problem is his all-around game right now. Okay.
Don't say anything about breaking tackles. That I'm not going to allow, because he is the only one. He was the tone setter for playing physical yesterday, taking on three tackles. I can't speak to the route running, getting open. I can't let you go there with Ferg.
Don't
talk about breaking tackles with Jake Ferguson.
Less so about physicality, more I'm talking about the finesse that he's had in space. Yeah, where he's hurdled or he's had a move or he's been able to, you know, and I don't know. We forget this. He's missed a game this year. He had that knee issue against Cleveland where we all for a second thought he tore his ACL and was out the whole year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe he's just been limited by that. He might still be in some pain. It may be something where he's available and he can play, but there's pain management or there's some sort of limited mobility potentially. That could explain some of this. But it's just, I don't know that we've seen, not just I don't think we've seen progression this year so far. It's not going to, I don't know that we've seen the same guy we saw the first 2 years yet. And again, Everybody struggled. When an entire offense is struggling, that usually goes deeper than what one player's doing. That usually goes down to schemes or culture or, you know, just a lot of different things can factor into that are outside of even Jake Ferguson's control. But I think in general, as we've gone over the list and talked about people who are to blame for this offense being anemic for the first 7 weeks, Ferguson's name hasn't come up as routinely as it probably should. Are you upset by that, Sean?
I don't have anything else to say. I've said what I've had to say.
Choppy, am I wrong?
Redirect the blame everywhere else.
No.
Mike, Ferg.
I'm Lamb, sorry. I'm
not
sorry.
Four.
Is eight,
from four to Ferg.
I'm sorry.
Hey, throw the blame. Just like from four to Ferg.
Is 8 weeks, 2 hours, and 40 minutes before I say, hey, is Jake Ferguson playing great this year? Is that looking to redirect too quickly?
No.
So, Chop,
I'll tell you this. I had the over at 4.5 touchdowns and for Jake for the year.
So yeah, I would say he's starting off a little bit slow.
Well, the thing is that you've talked about it before, Chop. You feel like there's no greater advantage potentially in today's NFL than an athletic tight end who can
I agree.
Be a difference maker for you.
Absolutely. Third wide receiver too. A third wide receiver who's a top flight third, because you're going up against a third corner. That, you know, when Antonio Brown was with Tampa, I mean, that could be good. But yeah, I mean, a tremendous tight end. We saw it last night.
Heading into this week, do you know where Jake Ferguson ranked in receiving yards across the NFL?
Are you going to throw him in there with receivers too?
I can throw him in there with tight ends first. I'm going to tell you receivers first. Or I'm going to tell you all pass catchers.
About 77th.
No, lower.
Pretty damn close. 74th. He's 15th among tight ends in receiving yards. And that's as somebody who's supposed to be the number two. He's in one of these situations where you're not the third one getting, you know, progression looks after the first and the second receiver. He's supposed to be the two. And when CD's bracketed, he's a lot of times going to have to be the one. And for him to output, you just look over the course of the last several weeks. He came off of the injury against Baltimore. He played well that game. He had 6 catches, 95 yards. Since then, 7 for 49, 6 for 70, 3 for 11, 6 for 23. And it's just, it's not coming together the way I think that it should or like you'd want to see. And again, there's bigger, larger scale issues, I think, with the offense right now that go beyond Jake Ferguson. I just think that he would probably say as well, I shouldn't be getting a pass. I need to be playing better. I need to be making a bigger difference. I did notice last night.
Maybe he's got a case of the Kelsey's.
Right.
Could be. Look, yeah. I mean, you get
running
big.
All over
and
town.
I'm just kidding. I don't even want them to think I'm joking about that, because he's cool. I don't want him to think we're like. I don't want him to think we're actually saying that.
Yes, I'm joking, not. Jake.
Yeah. No, she's much better than Taylor Swift. Ugh. But one of the things that I noticed yesterday, they used, when we talk about what changes did they make at the bye week, was there anything that looked different in the offense? We were expecting certain things to come back potentially. Ferguson, I thought, and we'll see if it was just San Francisco, did it stick out to you guys that it felt like they were trying to use Ferguson different than he's been used in the past?
Not really.
I thought the slip screens that he was catching, like that one he caught on third down and then he ran, and the, hey, quick throw to the flat, let's try and clear out flat, get him out there. I thought they were definitely trying to get him ball in his hands, go do something with it. And I don't know if that's because they feel like, hey, we haven't been able to push things further down the field. We've had trouble separating. We've had trouble clearing that out. Let's try and clear out in the shallow end and do something with him to where he can make plays in space.
The big difference that Collinsworth was pointing out on TV was six-man front for Zimmer. And he's like, you're not running. If you want to beat us one-on-one, you can beat us. You're not going to run and beat us up physically. Six-man front, and then whenever they went shotgun, Zimmer was blitzing. That was what Chris Collinsworth was talking about with the Cowboys' defensive adjustment.
Yeah, and that's the next thing I want to talk about here. Some of the other things that I noticed initially. And
God, we'll talk about something relevant.
Well, yeah, because your boy certainly isn't. When we look at some of the changes that were made, and we'll have a better idea once you can actually sit down and look at the game back. But initially, I thought Zimmer's defense looked different yesterday. There was a lot more. That stuff we talked about with Georgia versus Texas, the stemming the fronts and late shifts in the front and everything. Zimmer was doing a lot of that yesterday, where they're showing zero blitz, for instance, and then they get it burned them in this instance when Debo was motioned out and had that big catch on Kendricks.
Yes.
They were showing zero blitz. They showed basically everybody at the line of scrimmage, and then at the last second kind of shifted out and moved, and then Kendricks was a little late getting over there.
I have not noticed Mazi Smith one time. Well, I did notice him
one
time.
Why don't draft an interior defensive lineman?
He got thrown a couple weeks ago, but basically since his really nice game that we were all in love with, I have not noticed or heard him at all.
I noticed him yesterday.
He did?
Yeah, because he was on the ground a few different times.
The bar, though, for nice game for Mazi is like a hitter who goes like 1 for 5, and you go, but he had a good game.
Oh.
It's like 1 for 5.
No, that game he had against the Giants, he was an impact player. And that's the thing, is that if you get that, it's great. That's who he's supposed to be. And the problem is that it's not been consistent enough. Yesterday was, we had this talk on Cowboys Crosstalk last Wednesday with Nate. The idea of, if you can get one guy, because everybody was bad against Detroit, so if you can just get one guy for the San Francisco game to say, he's got to be better. He specifically, I'll take my chances with everybody else, but if I can guarantee that he's better, then I'm going to feel a lot better about this game. The guy I picked was Mozzie. Because if Mozzie's playing better, everything else for the defense is going to fall into place more smoothly. He is, people think of the one technique, like Choppy just said, as being little useless to the defense.
Space eater.
Space eater, whatever. When you talk about what the linebacker's role is and what other guys on the defensive line are supposed to do, it really does have a massive impact on ripple effect what happens behind you. If Mozzie Smith's not doing his job, everything else falls apart in a lot of respects, especially in the run game. And that's why I think you're seeing, you're getting the 220 that you're giving up on the ground, or the 180 or the 270. You're giving up all that stuff on the ground in large part because Mozzie Smith doesn't play well. Mozzie doesn't play well, and then Kendricks is getting blocked and Overshown's getting blocked, or they're trying to play hero ball and they're trying to do other things. Mozzie Smith has got to be better, and that's something that right now you aren't getting out of him. Now, I mentioned earlier, I wanted to complain, Sean, as I frequently do, about the 3rd and 5 run. I had
Lipke.
Almost a bigger problem with that than any play I saw last night. Mm. And it was in the first quarter when it was still 0-0. And ultimately, you got ahead after that. It shouldn't matter that much. Here's the issue. What have we heard from Jerry McCarthy and everybody else now for 8 weeks about the run game? Whenever we ask, hey, why isn't this happening? Why aren't you doing this? What do they keep throwing at us?
Are you about to read this quote?
No, I don't think I'm about to read a quote. I'm going to make a point.
Okay.
The quote that we've been getting from Jerry and McCarthy, or the sentiment, has been,
we haven't had enough opportunity.
Time and place, guys. We've been down. We've had this happen. We can't do that.
There's truth in blah, that. Blah. But
There is truth in that. But you have no standing anymore to tell me about time and place. When in San Francisco, you know you have trouble playing from behind. It has been a killer for your organization for the last several years, even when you've been good. And this year, you're not. But you've had issues playing behind. You get the ball, and you're trying to continue a drive, get on the board first against San Francisco, and on 3rd and 5, you run a shotgun, like, dive play with the fullback.
Did you go back and study the box? Is that what it called for?
I looked at it. It was not.
And the great Kyle Shanahan, he did it twice as well. You know, 3rd and 4, they ran it.
Yeah, if we were
3rd, and that was then it was a behind a Debo and 4th, 3rd and 10 before the field goal, they ran it.
Dalvin Cook looked great in practice too when he was going against the Cowboys' run defense. We've heard about this. We know, sure.
3rd and 4, a run to Debo, that's not like a run, right? It's like a, you know what I mean? Debo's different. Look,
but here's the thing.
It's the fullback. If they had ran it to...
I'm joking, but you know what? I always view those things as...
Nitpicky, it is.
Well, it works. It was genius. Nitpicky. No one was expecting it. Hunter Lipke has been talked about a couple times this year.
Right.
I'm not defending it, but it feels like a total hindsight thing.
No, because I said it at the time while we were sitting up there in the press box, that in 3rd and 5 and you're in a shotgun and you're handing it to Lipke to run up the A-gap, you can't tell me about time and place to run the ball and why you haven't had opportunities and then do that in that moment. That's not the opportunity. That's not the time. That's not the place. That felt a little, I don't want to just throw this word around because I know how sensitive at times some of the decision makers can get about certain words that you use, but it felt like coaching malpractice to me to even call that in that situation, given everything that's riding on this team right now. And I just don't want to hear any more about, we don't have the opportunity to run the ball, or we're not doing this, or we're not doing that. We got to have the right moment to do it. Well, you did it in one of the worst possible moments, and it showed me you just don't have an ability to correctly read the room on the running game.
Below the belt every day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. We still have 1 hour to go on this Cowboy Monday. How Dan Quinn made Jerry's day even worse in D.C. That's next here on Sean and RJ.